Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Gwen, and I'm here with Jack, and it's Sunday at 6 p.m. This is Here Be Monsters. Hi, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi, listeners. Hope you're all having a good day, and we're looking forward to another great discussion this afternoon, and hopefully it'll lead us somewhere. They usually do.
Damn precious he does anymore. But here's the thing. We had a special guest, Julia Trigg Crawford from Texas, mm-hmm. rancher in Texas, who will be with us next week to speak about her ongoing eminent domain fight with TransCanada on putting the tar sands pipeline through her property. It's now come down to her using the defense of archaeology on her land. The eminent domain is just outrageous. I think
it is.
But Julia will be with us next week. She had a loss of attorney status, and she's having to put a good environmental attorney in instead. And so she just couldn't devote all the time that we had scheduled. So she will be with us next weekend. And to brighten us up before we hit some really dark topics, I'm going to play us in with something hopeful, Jack.
Good. jaunty.
It was at least bright. I have to ask you a question, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
How is your patience these days?
It depends on what I'm trying to be patient about. With Republican nonsense, I have no patience.
And speaking of which, this Tuesday is the big, huge recall Scott Walker voting platform in Wisconsin.
That's great.
And you posted over at Saturday afternoon
post,
and also Roundtree 7.
That's right.
A wonderful post on this Tuesday, and I'd just love it if I could treat you just like I was interviewing instead of my co-host here and ask you to give me the highlights of that post right now.
Well, I'll be happy to. You know, it involves Scott Walker, that notorious, very misleading governor of Wisconsin who was elected during the Tea Party situation in 2010 in an off-year election. He narrowly won then, and he's narrowly ahead according to some polls right now. But I don't know how the guy can be ahead anywhere because he's so deceitful. He lied to the people of Wisconsin. He has polarized the state something terrible. And you had last year and the year before, you had all kinds of people out in the streets in the middle of winter raising complete holy hell about him destroying union power in Wisconsin, him doing all kinds of things that he never said he would do during the election. And, he promised to create jobs.
Jack footed hoodooed by a group of people from a radio station calling him and posing as a Koch brother, right?
That's right, exactly right. And he was talking all friendly and talking about, oh yeah, I'd love to go to California with you and all that stuff. You know, the guy's just a joke. He's got his own agenda. It's a very far right wing agenda. It is not pro growth. He says it is, but Wisconsin has had no growth in his term in office so far. There's been a net loss in jobs, and he was supposed to be the great job savior and the great bringer of jobs to Wisconsin, and it never happened because what he did a typical far-right Republican move. He cut taxes on the very wealthy and on the corporations, and that was supposed to be an incentive to create jobs, and we all know that just isn't the way it's done. It's just... All they do is they take the money and they go overseas with it.
Yeah, it hasn't worked. Economics of Reagan, which only the trickle down was them pissing all over the middle class until
exactly.
They out as
yep.
as if the rich people pee would melt away the middle class. I hate to say that it seems to have its properties.
That's about right. Yep, that's right.
I would say, too, that he has basically put a conservative plan in action that is based in or anchored in disaster capitalism, as we've mm-hmm. come to understand it, through so many people bringing it to the platform to explain to us, like Naomi Klein.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Chicago School of Economics, old Uncle Milty BS completely runs roughshod over a community for the greater profit at those at the top tier,
yep.
whoever they may be, usually corporations,
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
Like Bain Capital kind of style.
Exactly,
He has implemented one of the, he tried to implement one of the great fundamental strategies of that in its getting rid of the unions.
Exactly. Well, he wanted to destroy first the public sector unions, and he's made it very difficult for them to thrive anymore in Wisconsin. And they've had a glorious 50-plus year career tenure in Wisconsin, and they've been doing just fine. And they haven't been bankrupting the economy or any of these other charges that he's made. It's just insane. But, you know, this guy, he's so deceitful. He doesn't say what he's really going to do. He just goes ahead and does it. He governs as if he had a massive huge landslide win, which he did not have, but he acts as though he's got a huge mandate to do these terrible reforms, and he doesn't. You know, that's what's so infuriating.
This non-conscious political corruption, this non-conscious awareness.
Yeah, very true.
Conservative political corruption is a bug that I'm sure you've heard. Our governor here, Scott Walker, beyond being given a cease and desist order from Washington,
right,
trying to get each precinct to purge with letters to voters saying that you're not qualified.
Eligible to vote anymore, yeah. That's because you're... Yeah, and a lot of innocent people get caught in the maze. And thank you, Rick Scott, for being such a jerk. And you know what? It's a plan that these Republicans have. They want to attack any type of personality who may have voted against them in the last election. And they want to make damn sure it doesn't happen this time.
You know, conspiracy used to be something that I would point at and say, well, you know, I'm not exactly one of your Alex Jones fans. I will say this, in the last 2 years, my eyes have been opened up for me because, I mean, and speaking of which, you heard about the Bilderberg conference that's getting protested too right now in Europe. Mm-hmm. And on Friday, I wanted to ask your opinion about this with everything, the whole mix that is going on right now. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, we lost the year's gains in the stock market. Of course, anybody who really knows anything about economy and stocks realizes that that's not really about the actual nuts and bolts of the economy. It's just an indicator.
Right.
But mainstream media, prompted by corporate agendas, is making great hay of it, only to the conservative side, because they'll point a finger at the Democrat president and in blame. But it's an indicator. And with everything that's going on currently over in Europe, I mean, they're on a real edge over there.
They are, that's right. All this austerity stuff. The only hopeful sign we've seen is the election of Hollande in France, because he has pledged to put an end to all that nonsense. And Greece has kind of followed him in that regard. They're having some trouble putting a government together in Greece, and we don't know how it's going to end up yet. Spain is in some financial trouble or perceived trouble that could be happening down the line. We don't know, because everything's in an upheaval right now. And I think the big real loser in that is the austerity measures themselves, along with Angela Merkel. And I think that's what's the net result of that.
She's in big trouble with her grip on power over there, simply because of her lack of green consciousness. This is about, it's not so much about finances with the German people and voters as it is the awareness and the anonymous group over there that has, and Occupy, that has brought up the awareness of a bigger global situation economy-wise her into it as a conservative.
Number
one thing is nuclear energy. They are totally wanting to destroy, and she, of course, is one of the corporateers.
She's in favor of
nuclear energy out there. I don't know what we even argue about sometimes, Jack, when you take a look at what's happening in Fukushima, you know?
Yeah, exactly, and they're building one down in Georgia now, too. This nuclear stuff is... It's very frightening. I mean, it's just not good. I don't know what's wrong with people that they rely on this stuff.
Yeah, that's General Electric for you too.
They're terrible. Yep.
When you compound all of these different factors, all of this catalyzing unrest that is going on at this moment, and you look at the social structure, the most positive thing in the last, I'd say, maybe 100 years has been the Occupy movement, and it's got its fractures too.
Oh, sure.
Take a look at what's happening in the everyday world socially from community to community. And did you see Oso's post this week in Round Tree 7 on the Oakland Police Department's murder
I think
data.
That was earlier in the week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep.
Sorry. He posted on one of his style character pieces. You know it also when you're reading it. He brings your heart out. And he opens it. He opens.
Well, he
your
puts
eyes.
It in human terms, in everyday people terms, and that so everybody can understand what the impact is.
He gave us the portrait from the heart
mm-hmm.
of a mother losing her child to the
yeah.
insanity mm-hmm. of police brutality right now.
Right.
It's a brutality.
Yeah, exactly.
You can sit. You can listen. And I am saying this because Oso is logged into the our chat room. Hi, Oso.
Hi, Oso.
And I'm hoping he'll give us a call in and give us an update because this is
yeah.
a real issue, concern in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, okay, that's crazy. We do have a caller.
Oh, good.
111-1111. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Oso, how are you?
I like your phone number.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Oh, hey, Jack, how was your brother?
He went to, for those who don't know, my brother has been diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer and has been undergoing chemotherapy, which has kind of wiped him. It's left him very nauseous most of the time. But he did have a little reprieve. He got to go up to Toronto to see one of his favorite bands. And came back and immediately went into chemo again. But this time he's changed something around. I don't know exactly the technicality of it, but he's having a little bit better time with the nausea. So that's we're grateful about that. But the prognosis for him isn't real, real good, but we'll take any positive note we can have in the meantime, and we'll live with that as best as we can.
Yeah, we'll keep him in our prayers, you know.
Yes, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Very good.
I was
yes.
going to say, there's really open season in here. You know, Sunday night they killed another unarmed man in Vallejo. Yeah, just north of here. I mean, by north, it's probably about 15 minutes north, maybe 20
yeah.
minutes north. But
right.
You know, the official story is he was in a car with two other guys. His lights were off. He ran a couple signals. The cops
okay.
thought he was a drunk driver. He escaped from the car. They tased him. He was bitten by a dog, a police dog, and then he supposedly charged the police. He made a sudden move into his waistband and came out with a shiny object, which turned out to be a metallic wallet. He was shot to death. And his
yeah, you know, they're so arrested. Quick to shoot, aren't they? But you know. You can't really blame them. I mean, when I don't want to make excuses for them because I think they're way too apt to go ahead and use the firearms. But you know, if you feel your life is threatened, you've got to do something. And it's when a guy is stupid enough to pull out something metallic looking from a hidden place, you know, he's got to expect some kind of repercussions. What I wish they would have done though would have just shot him in the legs or something. You know.
Well, see, the thing is, though, see, because that's the kind of story, and that story does make sense, because, you know, when anyone hears that on the news, you think, well, okay, you know, the guy did run at them,
he was automatically wrong.
Object. Yeah, yep. You know, he had, a shiny object, but when you think about this, if you grew up in a ghetto-type area, you know not to make sudden movements around the cops. It's
right,
just
right.
sort of like instinct. Because I know as a kid myself, I learned, you know, when the police stop you and you're going to show your ID, you turn slightly, you say, yeah, I'll get my wallet, and here it is. And, you know, you let
mm-hmm.
them kind of see, you pull it out. So the fact that a black guy would come rushing at the cops, make a quick move into his waistband and yank out his wallet, It just doesn't hold up. And that's why they get their stories like that. And the media is pretty compliant. You know, they'll go along with. You know?
We don't get real news in the media. We get a lot of conjecture and a bunch of crap.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So I understand where you're coming from there, and it's really a shame. But,
yeah.
You know, let this be a lesson. Excuse me. Let this be a lesson to all people that are dealing with the cops. You don't have to, bend over and accept everything. But on the other hand, you've got to be very careful in how you deal with them, or you're going to get shot.
And the thing could be, then my guess is, he probably was careful, and for whatever reason, mm-hmm. the cops decided to blow him away. And see, that's
why could very well be, too. You never know with the Oakland police, especially. They've got this reputation, just like the Chicago police do to a different extent. It's not always protect and serve. Sometimes it's depends on who they're serving, and a lot of times they serve up gunshots. I mean, that's not anything to serve the regular people with.
Yeah, there's an upcoming call next month where some groups are calling for a one-day strike against the Muni, the transportation services there in San Francisco, because
mm-hmm.
On July 16th of last year, a friend of mine's son, he supposedly didn't pay his $2 muni fee when he got off the Muni. The San Francisco police were doing a crackdown.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny ran. He ran from them, and he was shot to death. And he was unarmed.
That's so ridiculous.
He had a cell phone, and the part whether he didn't pay or not is it could have been. I mean, kids do dumb stuff.
Yeah, who knows?
You see the cops, and sometimes people run. You get scared.
It might have been an emergency. He had to have the ride and had to get somewhere, and we don't know. See?
Yeah.
But immediately he's portrayed as an evil wrongdoer and a suspect. Without any thought given to it at all.
And the point, gentlemen, is that, people of color in this country have grown up with
mm-hmm.
that extra sensitivity towards the police. But especially since the Occupy movement began, brutality has become the rule of the day in all too many major metropolitan areas. And their flagship seems to be Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, too, Kenny, after he was shot to death, they prevented the ambulance from getting to him for almost half an hour. So he lay there. There's a horrible YouTube.
There's no excuse for that.
None. There's a horrible YouTube there that somebody took, somebody took a video, rather. It went on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
His mom hasn't seen it, and she's vowed she'll never look at it. But
He's
moaning. He's trying to get up. His legs kick, and he pushes himself like halfway up and looks around, and he collapses again. And they they watched
terrible.
Him. Yeah, at the end of, I think it was 28 minutes, when he finally stopped moving, they went over and rolled him over and patted him down and saw there was no weapons, and then they led in an ambulance. But essentially, they let him die.
They let him die. Yep.
That's the same thing as, Chris Hayes this morning, what we were speaking about before, and I don't know if you've seen it, Oso, on Up this morning with Chris Hayes. Jeremy Scahill from The Nation was on, and I completely support his statement.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys will give a minute here, I'll play it.
Yeah, please do.
I think Oso has something to say on this one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Here's PBS did a frontline documentary on Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Again, Jeremy, you just got back from there, been doing reporting on it. And here's a reporter pointing to where the American citizen son of Anwar al-Awlaki, a 16-year-old boy who was from Denver, was killed. Take a look.
These are the spots where the son of the American preacher, Anwar al-Awlaki, was killed. His son and 8 of his friends were sitting in this place having dinner, and they were targeted by one rocket here, another rocket there. If you see this big circle, targeted them, and then another rocket beyond this area. They say it's an American-targeted killing, but an American citizen, of course.
Jeremy, you used the word murder before when you talked about the people who have been killed by these strikes who are not combatants, we can establish. And obviously that's a loaded word because it carries certain moral and legal ramifications. Why do you use that word?
If someone goes into a shopping mall in pursuit of one
of their enemies and opens fire on a crowd of people and guns down a bunch of innocent people in a shopping mall, they've murdered those people. When the Obama administration sets a policy where patterns of life are enough of a green light to drop missiles on people or to use, to send in AC-130s to spray them down.
But that wasn't the case here. You're talking about a targeted person here.
No. That's not. If you go to the village of Al Majla in Yemen, where I was, and you see the unexploded cluster bombs, and you have the list and photographic evidence, as I do, the women and children that represented the vast majority of the deaths in the first strike that Obama authorized on Yemen, those people were murdered by President Obama on his orders, because there was believed to be someone from Al-Qaeda in that area. There's only one person that's been identified that had any connection to Al-Qaeda there. And 21 women and 14 children were killed in that strike. And the U.S. tried to cover it up and say it was a Yemeni strike. And we know from the WikiLeaks cables that David Petraeus conspired with the president of Yemen to lie to the world about who did that bombing. It's murder. It's mass murder. When you say, we are going to bomb this area because we believe a terrorist is there, and you know that women and children are in the area, the United States has an obligation to not bomb that area if they believe that women and children are there. That's murder.
In the 60 days before D-Day, the U.S. Army Air Force is based out of the U.K., conducted a road interdiction campaign in France. Basically, if you were on the road or if you were on a railway, anywhere between Paris and Brittany for about 60 days, you were attacked by the U.S. Army Air Forces. And the intent was to shut down Wehrmacht activity in advance of D-Day. And it killed thousands of French civilians. Were they murdered?
Yeah.
No reasonable person thinks that these people
were murdered. I've been to these places, and I believe that when you bomb knowing you're going to kill women and children,
let me move from that.
I invite you to prosecute Eisenhower.
Guys, I think we're losing sight of our humanity. There isn't much of it.
Oh, yeah.
That and the fact that we're not at war with Yemen. So there were German troops there who U.S. troops were about to engage in combat with, but there's no... we're not at war with any forces that are in Yemen.
These undeclared wars we've been in addicted to for the past several decades, there's something wrong with that. You know, there's something very wrong with that, because it carte blanche allows us to just do whatever we damn well please, using whatever weapons we want to do, and we dominate the propaganda spear and everything else. And it's the wrong way to go about it.
The bottom line here is about profits. It's who's making the money at this.
Exactly.
The profiteering is the bottom lines. And
the military-industrial complex, there you go.
Yeah,
arms manufacturers.
Edgar was right. He was absolutely right.
Yes, he was.
Find a Nike Republican walking the streets, and if they are, they're probably the World War II vets that are part of the Occupy movements, like Occupy Palm Beach County. We've got a few of them. Mm-hmm. And these are honorable people who have not only served their country, but understand the horror of what is being done when the example was brought to bear on the conversation this morning that the United States military and the British military were responsible for the deaths of thousands of French civilians. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed, I'd call that murder. I'd call it a war crime. I would. Mm-hmm. I would not hesitate to say that, just as I am now ashamed to admit to anyone that I worked so hard to elect a man who, in front of a camera, told people he has a kill list and he's the one who makes the choices. This is who he kills, women and children.
It's pretty hard to fathom. It's pretty terrible, really, when you think about it.
Not
the way we're supposed to conduct foreign policy.
Chewed up by all of this, and it's all for want and chase of something that is a huge illusion, and that's money.
I can imagine, though, if Bush had said that and done that, and I can imagine how the anger towards him.
Oh, absolutely.
Justifiably so. But then people will give Obama a pass, and it's just like, well.
They are, you're right.
He tries to.
Yeah, but, the very fact that we're talking about it right now is an indication that that's starting to change. And it should, because basically he's been doing the same thing that Bush and Cheney did, Only he's been doing it a little kinder, a little gentler in certain regards, but he's still nonetheless been at the same old game.
I don't think there's any doubt, guys, that he's a lot brighter, a lot smarter than the old crowd that was in there. But we just changed up one for the other. People ask me why I support Roseanne Barr for president. Are you fucking kidding me?
Anyone who doesn't want to kill innocent people is okay. You know, I'm on her side too.
Right, exactly.
You know, just bringing up awareness of a third party, green candidate, whoever, socialist candidate, Mr. Alexander, it's really a necessary thing. But here we are, the little shows like myself and the PNN network with Rick, which is on next, and Diane over at Wild Wild Left, we're banging a drum out here, doing our best to actually speak truth to power, which is what the Fourth Estate was established for, until Randolph Hearst came along and interjected the yellow flag into it. And now we've got the Murdochville going on. I mean, these are people who are basically, I mean, I can hear the frustration in the writing of my fellow vloggers and the voices of people who ask the questions, what the hell is going on? Like Nicole Sandler says, it's Oppositeville.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. And, you know, the sad thing is, in the old days, you used to have a rather clear-cut definition between different parties and their stands on issues and who stood where. Nowadays, it's almost Tweedledee-Tweedledum. On the surface of it, it's not, but by and large, it really is, because they both support the military-industrial complex. They both support American imperialism, let's be honest about it, and they both are very pro-military. I mean, you can't even go to a baseball game anymore that you aren't assaulted with this pro-military shit. You know, it's just disgusting.
Crazy. Yeah, every game you watch, it seems like every TV program.
This is for our soldiers overseas, and he did this in Vietnam, and he did this in Iraq, and he did this. You know, who cares? I mean, it's nice to have an army that will protect you. It's nice to have armed forces that really do their job honorably. But on the other hand, to draw on these imperialistic or questionable ventures is noble endeavors it just befuddles me how people allow it to happen.
Yeah, you know, you're watching anything and they'll say, Cleveland's looking good today, and they say, yes, and we'd like to thank our men and women overseas for
in uniform.
Yeah,
I know.
You know, like women in Iraq and Afghanistan and kids were somehow coming here in rowboats to disrupt their game somehow, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's keeping us free, but the U.S. hasn't fought a credible threat since World War II.
Very true. They've been engaged in a lot of paranoidal, let's put it that way, aspects of war to be able to make sure that we never are in danger. And it's just been, they've gone overboard in the process, just like Israel does the same thing.
Oh, my God, Jeff.
They haven't been threatened for years and years and years. But you act like there's somebody
always
with a knife right at their throat constantly.
Yeah, they're always.
Gentlemen, we do have a caller who's online that would like to enter the conversation.
Great.
215 area code. Go ahead,
yes.
Caller.
Hi, how you doing today?
Hi, good.
Hi.
Good. I heard some good stuff here. Not everything I agree on, but. You know, if we agree on everything, then we wouldn't have so much problems in this world. Bush, by the way, did the same thing when bombing innocent people. They all have. It's part of war, and they just call it collateral damage, and then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how one gets away with it and the other don't. It depends how the media wants to portray it, how they don't, but they all do that. Ever since the Occupy movement started, I've supported it and followed it, but always and very skeptical. And reason being, I know where it's going and exactly what I have been predicting has been happening. I demonstrated back in the 60s, in the 70s. during the Black Panther movement, during the Young Lords movement, the Weathermen, and all these other people. And when we took it to the streets, we took it to the streets. And most of them were people of color. So as a result of that, we got hit more. And we got shot at more. And there was less reporting on it than it is today. You know, for so many years.
Excuse me, where are you seeing current reporting on the Occupy movement in the mainstream media?
Excuse me?
Because I will capture
it. I see it everywhere. I mean, I'm on Facebook, on TV, wherever it's at. I mean, the internet, you can find anything.
Well,
so I have.
And Facebook are one thing, but we are really what we're focused on with news would be the main.
Yeah, network news.
Network news, even cable news, and no one since Keith Olbermann's gone. I mean, I get better information off my Twitter accounts than.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion, you know, but I have the right to have my opinion of what
oh,
I
yes,
have seen.
For you
oh,
do.
Sure, sure.
I agree
with
yeah, you.
And that's what I'm. That's
and
what
I
like to talk about.
But it on, you know, are we?
You know, sir, your point is that the persons of color were subjected to a lot
of.
That
was not my. That was not my point.
Oh, it wasn't. Okay, go ahead.
I just mentioned that
because
I just wanted to give you a little history that I was in the movement from a long time. And earlier, I think it was the lady who mentioned about people of color were targets. And that is a fact. That is a true fact.
Yes, exactly.
But it's only now that you start seeing the police brutality in this into other neighborhoods. And now everyone's opening their eyes to this.
Yeah.
And they can see now that it wasn't just in those neighborhoods. This can happen anywhere.
Yeah, very good point.
Now, what I particularly didn't like about the movement itself is because whenever you have a movement, even at that time, and you had demonstrations, you had everything, you had all kinds of people. You had the real serious ones. Then you got the professors. Then you got the anarchists. Then we got these kids who have nothing better to do. Then we got these potheads. Then we got the thieves that go there just because there's big crowds. So there's so much of everyone within those crowds. And that's why we had to always have our own security to protect ourselves not only from the police but from other elements and provocateurs and, you know, and things like that. What I have seen in the Occupy movement is that a lot of these people think that they're actually going to make a major difference in the way America does politics, and that is no way it's gonna happen. You know, we can demonstrate in front of buildings and stuff like that. All they're gonna do is take pictures of most of the people, make an FBI list on it, keep you, harass you later, secretly lock you up, threaten you, start a fight, and say you guys started it, and start locking it up. And most of the people, when they get locked up the first time, I'm not going to come back. You know, which is much different from before.
Excuse me. It actually, I see your points. It should be addressed that Occupy movements across this country and globally, this is not an American movement. This is a global movement.
I'm aware of that.
It's
I'm talking about it in America here, what I've seen here in America.
I am addressing that, too. Basically, if you're looking for demonstrations, there are several that go on any day of the week anymore in groups that have occupied groups all over this country that address uniquely in their communities the banks, the housing situation, the foreclosures. There are so many food banks. There are so many different actions taken by occupied groups that are making major differences in this country. And if you pay attention on the internet to the Occupy groups, the sites that are dedicated to different groups, and you can Occupy together, you will find that there is a great deal of cohesion. People are coming back after being arrested, and there is an ongoing united effort to keep, through General Assemblies, to keep this alive and confronting the issues of communities, because you have to win the battles you can, bring up the awareness where you can, And it's the last.
When the Occupy movement first started, the women were talking about the 99% against the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
And it's Occupy Wall Street.
That was the main thing. Occupy Wall Street.
Was to, yes,
how it all started.
To bring
mm-hmm.
to
awareness.
It was to bring up not
May
just.
May I finish? May
of,
I finish?
Excuse me. The banking community and the crimes that went unattended to from 2007 and 2008, and to bring
right.
the awareness of 1% having more. Say over all government than the 99% was
right.
just one prong of
right.
what Occupy Wall Street was about.
Did it change anything?
Yeah, it shifted the conversation in this country tremendously. It brought an awareness up that is still being debated.
But did it change anything?
Congress.
I'm talking about conversation. I'm talking about did it change anything in American way of doing business, in the capitalistic way.
Let me ask
way.
You.
In other words,
well,
it always been at 1% and at 99%.
Sir, to a limited extent, it really has. I know for a fact, in Minneapolis here at least, we've been very successful in getting certain foreclosures stopped, and you know these people are very grateful for what we've done. Now that's small potatoes when you compare
right.
it to the general way of things are done in this country. But I mean,
exactly.
every little bit helps, and
with the foreclosures. I think you guys are doing a great job with that. That is
right.
great, because when there was a group of people fighting one particular bank and saying, hey, you're not going to take these people home, you're not, and you fight it, that's
right.
a great accomplishment.
Yeah, right.
But
you know, we're not going to wave a magic wand and cure Congress of being so idiotic. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But every
exactly.
little bit of awareness we can get, and every little bit of people to get a little more irritated and do something, is a big victory in the long run.
Right, because the only way to get down to 1% is by an armed revolution. That is the only way.
Well,
and you know,
that's
the truth.
That's not how Martin Luther King brought the, you know,
civil rights.
Sell
yeah.
J, the paper.
We're in a time of a new world order. This is the only, there's a big difference now.
I agree across the boards with violent action, because that's not going to work either. That's just going to get massive amounts of people and many innocents killed.
Killed, yeah.
True. When they start attacking the innocent demonstrators
mm-hmm.
and they start shooting them in the streets like
mm-hmm.
they did back in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
and taking their leaders and framing them and injecting them with illness, then you start to maybe look at things a little different. But as far as passive demonstrations, is never. You're going to have this 1% say, okay, you guys are right. We give it all our money. We're going to stop being corrupt. And everyone's going to be happy. It's never going to happen.
We're not naive idealists, sir.
Basis
you know.
Of it. Movements happen, and movements make change in countries. It's slow,
right.
and it all of a sudden
right.
happens.
It's a
like,
slow, continual process.
Well, I appreciate. I really do
anyone
appreciate what you guys are doing.
Throw people. Innocent people out as cannon fodder are as bad as Obama and his kill list. I'm very against that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I agree. And I voted for Obama, and then when I started to learn all these secret laws that
right.
he was putting into signing, and
yeah.
I was saying, "Wait, we live in a police state here."
Well,
and
yeah.
then we kind of found out that there was 3 weeks ago, this guy had just signed something that could allow a policeman to walk into your house without a warrant, that they can stop you in the middle of the street, that Homeland Security can do whatever they... I mean, it's crazy. And
well, the Department of Homeland Security has a very horrible record, and I'll tell you what, all this crap began, it didn't begin, but it accelerated during the George Bush administration, and not to his credit, Obama has carried on with it. It's disgusting.
You know, guys, I just got to think, welcome to the world that the people of color in this country, and many of them were the ones who were
have lived with for years. Mm-hmm.
You know, that we came and colonized.
Right.
I mean,
well, I'm a man of color.
It's their world.
And I've lived it. I saw the corruption. I was beaten by four white police officers for 1 hour and a half at the 44th Precinct, which you know as Fort Apache, the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
And they were trying to kill me. A riot resulted because of that beating. And that's when I and a lot of people started to realize, and the Young Lord Party, who were the only ones, them and the Black Panther Party, who aided me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I joined the movement.
Yeah.
But I have seen so much within that movement. And they're not going to stop. They will do anything to destroy anybody in their interest. So right now you may be past it because you have not been touched yet.
Yeah.
But wait till
yeah.
you start seeing them come down, the way they come down in these communities before. And you're going to see why people of color are so angry and do not trust the police.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a lot of decent people. A lot of decent people in these neighborhoods. But they do not trust the police, and they will not give information to the police.
Well,
why?
I'm grateful, sir. I'm grateful that I'm sorry to hear that you were treated so badly way back then.
Yes.
And I'm very grateful that you're still around to be able to tell us about it. And I'm very grateful that you're still active in whatever capacity you are active in, because I know you're an activist, and I applaud you for that.
Well, I appreciate you guys, and you keep up giving that information out there. And there's other groups out there that do what they have to do.
Right.
And you guys are awakening the people, and that I give you a lot of credit for. And
thank
it
you.
Takes a lot. It takes a
thank
lot
you.
To wake up early in the morning. My daughter used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning here in Philadelphia so she can get a good spot in front of City Hall with the movement.
Yeah,
and
good
she
for her.
Every single day.
Good for her. We need that passion. We need that dedication.
So I support her, and I support you guys. Keep up the good work. But
yes,
we don't agree
on
everything. But remember, there's the only way to stop that move, that 1%. They're not going to give it up. They're not.
Oh, no, of course
thank
not.
Thank you, John. Thank you all.
Hey, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate it.
God
bless.
Really
God bless you.
Yes. You know, in the chat room too, Jack, Oso and High Flyer are speaking about people think that basically in November things are going to
change.
For
no,
the
they're
better.
Not.
I've even heard my own kid sister, who's a pretty bright lady, talk about, well, maybe now Obama will keep his promises. Well, I don't hold my breath and stick my thumb.
Yeah, I don't either. He'll find one way around him, or he'll get corrupted in another way.
Well, and they're talking about a big change is going to shift in that election. Well, it's beginning to look like it's anybody's race.
It really is. You know, and again, there are several important factors to consider here. It's not only a race for president, it's a race for control of Congress. And if we get a Democratic Congress, things aren't automatically going to be better because there's going to be a lot of Dinos in there, and those guys are nothing but warmed over Republicans. But if we can just change enough of the makeup of Congress to get a few more progressive voices in there, and develop some more progressive consciousness among the lawmakers, that's going to be a big victory, and we've got to add on it. We've got to build on that.
Well, I agree with you, Jack.
It's a little step at a time is all it is. You're not going to have a massive, 100% to nothing. You know, it's not going to happen.
I agree with you. I apologize for the background noise. It's that kitchen sink production. Folks are speaking. room, so please excuse it to the audience.
I haven't even noticed.
Oh, good. The other thing that I did want to bring up before we leave here is, again, to remind folks that next week we will have Julia Trigg Crawford from Texas, the rancher whose land is being eminent domained by the state of Texas in for Trans Canada, and I wanted to tar sand.
Thanks, Rick Perry.
And the tar sand subject up because this is a great deal of the activism that is going on. I know the reason I got involved in politics again is because of my concern and care for the environment, for the mm-hmm. earth. And this is, you know, this past year, I wanted to ask you, I'm sorry Oso isn't here, maybe he'll chat line us with this on what you all think of all of the different just catastrophes elementally that have been happening, and with the poisons that have been introduced into the planetary system in the last uh-huh. year, and that are ongoing at this moment, from uh-huh. the oil disasters to, it's mainly our oceans, but it's
yeah.
also our
the nuclear Fukushima yeah. and all that stuff, you bet.
Yeah, we are 10 times over what Chernobyl was, and they locked down Chernobyl within weeks, and
mm-hmm.
here we are a year later, and General Electric, forget TEPCO, because that's just General Electric.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about that 1% again.
Oh, yeah.
Is out there with, and Kevin Blanche, who's been fighting leukemia
mm-hmm.
right now, has been keeping up his videos, and he's really giving some dire warnings about things.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying, you know, this could be generationally game over,
mm-hmm.
And in the least. And I'm saying this with the proviso of nobody knows really. And if we were going to have a longer discussion on it, I would ask, you know, David
mm-hmm.
and Kevin and a few others who have some ongoing awareness of what's actually intimately going on over there, because they're scientists and they understand it.
Well,
but
we could do that in another session, maybe a week or two down there, or a couple weeks down the road.
Well, yes, very much.
That'd be great.
So. But I'm wondering, what do you think is, with all of this going on in an election year, and as we were talking about before, last Friday's stock dropped so drastically, and
mm-hmm.
what's going on in Europe. I mean, the gentlemen in the chat room are speaking about, you know, a large change coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And from all ends, you're hearing that. And I'm wondering, what do you think?
Well, I think it's natural for progressives to think there's going to be a large and hopeful that there's going to be a big change that's going to happen. I sure hope it does. But my sense of realism tells me that chances are we'll get minimal gains, if any at all. We may
yeah.
very lose the White House to a guy that's an evil capitalist, a very predatory capitalist. And you know, we don't know if he's going to bring in a Republican majority to take over the Senate. We just don't know these things. It's too much up in the air right now. One thing's for certain. This
yeah.
year, forget any progressive legislation. It's not going to happen. It won't even happen till maybe even a year from now, depending on how things shake out. And Congress, is regardless of what happens this November, unless there's some miracle landslide that we're just inundated with the progressive victories, I don't see that happening. But if we do, you know, that's the only hope for any real change, but I don't think you're going to see it.
Jack, you're one of the most hopeful and positive people I've known for years, since I began becoming involved, outspoken about politics again.
Yeah.
And if you are seeing it in that through that glass that darkly, I'm thinking we need to put a lot of healing light out into the world for.
Well,
for
we do, but you know, Gwen, I could be totally. You know, all wet.
Yeah,
we just don't know. It's too uncertain right now, and it's going to depend on a lot of things. We have a number of things against us. You've got Karl Rove and all these idiots and the Koch brothers just spewing billions of dollars of cash out there to completely confuse the issue and mislead people so that their handpicked guys can win, and they can have
money,
control over the whole question. You know, it's just
and
bad.
And money is still winning the day, and
oh,
I
yeah.
have to quote Oso here. He's convinced that Obama will continue to keep the promises he made to the banks and Wall Street.
Oh, sure, sure he will.
And there's this other thing, too, that we have to discuss one Sunday. We're running down on minutes, so we're going to close up. But
okay.
Gummer Snindu, I can't, I'm dyslexic with that. But a fellow, thank you very much for being with us in the chat room. as saying that the New World Order is no joke. And I think actually we should take a look at that 1% and
sure.
and how collectively correct that might be as far as that 1% New World Order, because we know they have the agenda of basically
they can set policy, economic
yeah.
and governmental across the world.
So
it's the Carlyle Group and all those goofballs.
I shy away from using the term Illuminati myself because I know
mm-hmm.
different definitions. But
sure.
I will say that also people should pay attention to the blogs from the Progressive End this week because the Netroots are meeting up in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all of the progressive boost that comes out of Netroots going on
mm-hmm.
this week. So pay attention, folks.
Right.
You're not going to see a heck of a lot of it in the MSM, but you might see a little of it on Chris Hayes or Rachel Maddow.
Right.
And
Wisconsin voters, make sure you get out to the polls on Tuesday and get that Walker recalled and thrown out of office.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What a crook.
And please, folks, don't forget to tune in to New Mercury News on Blog Talk Radio, the Progressive News Network. It's a 90-minute program with Rick Spezak, and his guests are Florida progressives, Democrats, and activists. And I'm on that panel at about 7:30,
mm-hmm.
so I'm actually touting it. But
yeah.
Always tout Progressive News Network. Rick has a lot of really wonderful people on. So thank you all for listening. Thanks, Jack, for being
thank
here.
Thank you, Gwen. It's a pleasure as always. Look forward to next week.
Yes, where our guest will be Julia Trigg Crawford.
Great,
From
good to talk with you, Oso. Thanks for calling in.
I want to thank Oso, too. And
yep.
we'll leave off with one of our regular commercials here, something everybody needs to hear.
Great. See you next week.
See you next week.
20 secure phones to assist in staying anonymous? $5,000. Fighting legal cases across 5 countries? $1 million. Upkeep of servers in over 40 countries? $200,000. Donations lost due to banking blockade? $15 million. Added cost due to house arrest? $500,000. Watching the world change as a result of your work? Priceless. There are some people who don't like change. For everyone else, there's WikiLeaks. To find out more about WikiLeaks financial blockade and how to donate, please visit wikileaks.org/support.html.
And that's Here Be Monsters for this week. My many thanks to Jack Jodell, as always. He's a great guy with a positive attitude.
Thanks, folks.
Keep Jeff Jodell in your prayers this week, please, folks. That's all we got for you. We'll see you next week.
All right. See you then. Take care and have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.